and song and the music. Appreciate that so much. I'm reading from Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. As you know, Easter is almost upon us. First Sunday in April. And we want to walk with Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. The last trip he'll make before he dies. And so we want to begin our walk with him this morning as we join his disciples and a crowd of people who are following him on the way to Jerusalem. He has been teaching and preaching and performing miracles for a little more than 3 years now, about 3.5. And his time is getting close, real close, to when he'll go up to Jerusalem for his last time before he dies. Mark 10, verse 32, we'll start there. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest, to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. And Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are counted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and there are great ones that exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I'm sure we all know of people that we've known for a long time. Maybe we've worked with them a long time. Maybe we've gone to school with them. Maybe we played ball with them. Maybe we've gone fishing with them or played golf with them. You know, we've been knowing this person a long time. But on this particular day, they are, as we would say, they're not themselves today. They're acting a little differently. In fact, they may be acting strangely. We can't figure out what's wrong, but we know they're not the same person or acting the same as we have seen them act over the years that we've known them. And we don't know what's the matter. We don't know what's going on. We know that there may be a solemn look on their face. There may be a downcast look on their face. They may not be as talkative as they usually are. And we can sense that something is different. They're acting different than we have seen them acting or we're accustomed to them acting. Well, this is somewhat of the picture we see here in Jesus making his trek up to Jerusalem. But we see something a little different here in the way he's acting, what he's doing. For we are told that he is out in front of them. He's usually back with them, but this time he's walking out in front of them. He's walking out in front of the disciples. He's walking out in front of the crowd that is following. You know, by this time in his ministry, he's attracted a lot of people, and a lot of people are following him. And so they are following him up to Jerusalem. Now remember, Jerusalem is the highest peak in Israel. And so when any direction you, from any direction you go into Jerusalem, you go up. And it was it's near the Passover time. And a lot of Jews are coming in for the Passover festival. And so Jesus is out in front of the disciples and the crowd and is looking different today. He's acting different today. He is walking out in front, and Isaiah said that his face is like a flint. That is, he's headed toward Jerusalem, and he's not going to turn around. He's not looking to the left or right, to the left, but he has got his face set toward Jerusalem. And the disciples are picking up on it. The crowd are picking up on this. Now they're watching him. They know that there's something different today. There's something going on that they are not aware of. And so we're told here that the disciples are amazed. They are amazed at what is going on. They haven't seen him acting like this before. They haven't seen him with his face set toward Jerusalem like that before. They just don't understand what is going on, though they should have, because he has told them before what was about to happen to him, but they hadn't got it. Luke says that they understood none of the things that Jesus had told them. So he said earlier to them, already told them, he says, I'm going up to Jerusalem and I'm going to fall into the hands of wicked men. And everything that the prophets have written about me is going to take place. And they have written that I would go to Jerusalem, that I would fall in the hands of wicked men, and that I would die, I would suffer, I would die, I would be persecuted, I would be whipped, I would be beaten, my hair would be plucked from my face. All of this, this mockery and everything, this beating that they say was going to is going to happen. Now, he has told them that, but they didn't get it. So they still, while they're on his way to Jerusalem, they don't know what is going on, but they are amazed at what at the way he's acting today. So as they said that they were amazed, and I'm sure that the crowd had been following some time were perhaps amazed too. And I think maybe they were amazed if they understood anything at all about what Jesus said. Maybe they were asking, why in the world would a man knowing that something like this was going to happen to him, why would he walk into an ambush of death? Why would he do that? Why would he walk on into Jerusalem knowing that they were going to do that to him? You know, that wouldn't make sense to us, would it? And I don't think it would make sense to his disciples or anybody else, far as that goes. Because you see, Jesus, and only he, in that crowd that day, knew what was happening, what was going to happen. They didn't. And so again, we read, not only were they amazed, but they were afraid. We're not told what they were afraid of. Maybe it's what Jesus has said, and maybe they feared for their own lives. But they were afraid. Now, I want you to notice the action of Jesus. Jesus loves these disciples. And in fact, John said he loved them until the end. He loves these disciples, and he's trying to do all he can for them because he knows that they're afraid. He knows they're amazed. And so he stops, and he says to his disciples, come on over here. Let's sit down. I got something to tell you. And he tells them again what is about to happen to him. Now, he's already told them, and they are hearing the very same thing again. He says, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to fall into the hands of wicked people. They are going to whip me. They are going to mock me. They are going to spit on me. They are going to do everything possible to me, and they're going to kill me. Just plain, that's plain words he said to his disciples. But even then, Luke says they didn't understand anything at all that he said. Now, they had just heard the gospel again. The gospel before it happened, they had heard it again. They had heard what was going to happen, and they didn't get it. Now, you know, we look back on those disciples, and we want to shame them a little bit for not getting it. But would we have gotten it? You see, they didn't have the New Testament then. They had the Old Testament. They had the prophets. Prophets told them that. But you see, their concept of what Jesus had come to do was not, they wasn't connected with what he really came to do. And so they didn't have this in mind. They didn't have his dying in mind. They didn't have his suffering in mind. And so their conception of what Jesus came for was all wrong. And we see this in the coming of James and John. Now, Matthew, I believe it is, or Matthew's Luke 1 record of this, says that the mother of James and John came to Jesus and said, I got a request of you. He said, what is it? Would you, in your kingdom, seat my two sons on either side of you? In other words, she was asking, where James, John, and Mark was asking too, where we want the most prestigious position. We want the position with the most power to it. We want the greatest position in your kingdom. See, that's the kind of kingdom they had in mind. They had in mind that Jesus was coming to set up a kingdom where he would have his throne in Jerusalem, and they would be his, as it were, his cabinet members. And so they were vying now for who would be the greatest in his kingdom. Now, can't you imagine Judas must have had that in mind? He would be the treasurer, because he was already the treasurer, and in the kingdom like that, he would be the treasurer, and there would be a lot more money for him to get. And so that's the kind of thing they had in mind, of a kingdom, an earthly kingdom, where he would be king and they would be his cabinet members. They would be people in charge. So his going up to Jerusalem to die was not, they couldn't get it, because that wasn't what they had in mind about his kingdom. And Jesus said, as he drew them aside, he said, You don't understand it. But my kingdom is not like that. He said the Gentiles have set up kingdoms like that, where there's a king, where there's people in authority, they rule over one another. But he said, my kingdom is not like that at all. My kingdom is a kingdom of ministry. My kingdom is one where you don't have authority over each other, but where you minister to the needs of each other, where you minister to each other. And that's, you see, folks, that's what the church is about today. We're not an organization where one has authority over another. We're just all children of God, and he has the authority. He is king, and he's king of our hearts and lives, and he says, minister to one another. The disciples didn't get that, but they would later. But right now, they didn't know what he was talking about. And so, Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem for his last time before he dies, he will go in, he will observe the Passover, he will institute the Lord's Supper, and then the next day he will die. Now, that is why Jesus was acting differently that day. Because, you see, all of this was weighing heavily upon him. There's no way that these disciples, that crowd, or you and I could come anywhere near understanding the load that Jesus was carrying even at this moment. You remember when he got into Jerusalem and he got into the upper room, he said, my soul is so heavy that I feel like I'm going to die. So you see, the sins of the whole world, including yours and mine, were bearing down heavily upon him, even as he's going toward Jerusalem on this particular day And that's why he's acting different on this trip. Now, why? Why would he do this? Knowing what was going to happen to him. You see, this was in the plans of God before the foundation of the world that he'd do this. And Jesus been knowing from no telling how long that this was going to happen. And he came into the world and he's walking in the shadow of the cross. And now the shadow's gotten short. And he knows it. And so the suffering that he's about to encounter is almost upon him. And it's already bearing heavily upon him. Why would he do that? Why did he do it? There were two reasons. One, to do his Father's will. It was his Father's will that he do it. Isaiah said he was smitten of God. You see, it was all planned for the foundation of the world. It was his Father's will. Jesus had consented to doing his Father's will. And one thing it was foremost in his mind was to do his Father's will, to obey him. And so when he gets to the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays, "Not my will, but thine be done." And when his Father didn't tell him, "No, you don't have to do it," Jesus said, "Your will be done. It is done. I will do it. I will go through with it." So it was, he did it in obedience to his Father's will. And there's another reason. And Jesus tells it right here in verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Not only to do his Father's will, but to save souls of all who would believe. A ransom is something you pay to set somebody free. And so Jesus came to give his life as a ransom to set us free from our sins, something we could not do. We were in captivity to that. We were in bondage to that. And we couldn't do anything about it. And so God sent Jesus, his Son, to do that for us. And so it's through faith in him that the chains of sin are broken and we escape the penalty of sin, which is eternal separation from God. And it's all because he was willing to obey his Father and go on and die on the cross and shed his blood that we might believe and be delivered. That's why he went. Because of, to obey, to do the will of his Father, and because he loved us. John writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Isaiah writes, "By his stripes we are healed." He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. So he had us in mind that day. You know, we sing that song. It's a beautiful song. "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind." Folks, I believe that Jesus walking up to Jerusalem that day, I believe we were already on his mind. He was going there for you what a wonderful Savior we have. Carry all that load upon him on the way to Jerusalem. And then when he got there, it all happened. It happened just like he said it would. And so today, what happened there over 2,000 years ago is still powerful today. The gospel is still powerful. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and all the suffering he did. And the truth remains that whoever believes on him shall be saved. Do you know him today? Have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Remember, he went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me. And he said, if you'll believe in me, I will deliver you from the bondage of sin, and I will give to you the gift of eternal life. Has come to me. We're inviting you to do that today. You may be here, you never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We encourage you to come. If he's speaking to your heart, you come. He may feel the need of rededicating your life to God. You come as the Lord leads you. Any other decision you feel led to make, you come as we sing our hymn, number 502.